Good morning and welcome to a new day at Shepherd's Hut. We love having you as a part of our online community, and we pray that you're continually blessed and uplifted and also challenged by what it is that you receive as a part of this ministry that the Lord has called us to in his kingdom. Today, we obviously are meeting in person, but we're also meeting with you, and we're pleased that you are with us, and we're glad that you are here. Today, we, as a part of our service, are going to look at 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 to 12, and the title is, We Are Invited. What do you think that we are invited to? Well, enjoy the praise that we're about to have together, and then we'll get into what it is that we are invited to in 2 Peter chapter 2. But let's pray as we start the service today. Lord, I thank you that you have called us together, that we are your people, we are the sheep of your pasture, and that you long to spend eternity with us. And you also long to walk with us through this earthly life that we have before we reach eternity. Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for the scripture. And we look forward excitedly to what it is that you have for us today. Bless us, lead us, direct us, and show us, Lord, through the power of your Holy Spirit that lives within us, what it is that you have for us today. And Lord, we worship you and we praise you and put you in the highest place again. In Jesus' name, amen. I hope you enjoy the service today. And thanks again to A2A in Gateway in Melbourne at Frankston for their praise that they've given us today, the bracket of praise. And we'll see you as a part of the message a bit later on. If you want to connect in with us, by all means, go to our website. It's www.shepherdsheart, all one word, .org.au. And you can connect in with us or message us through Facebook. So we look forward to having you continually as a part of our community. Have a great day. Okay, well, welcome back. And let's get into the message for today. As I said before, the subject of today is we are invited. Well, an invitation is usually something that asks us to become a part of something. And we're going to look at five invitations today as part of this passage in 1 Peter chapter 2. And the first one is we are invited to be in Christ. The second one is we're invited to be a living stone, to be a part of God's spiritual temple. And that one just blew my mind as we looked at that. And the third one is that we are invited to be holy priests. And the fourth one is we're invited to be in relationship with God and his people. And finally, we are invited to show others how to become a part of this. We're invited to be examples of God's goodness, his grace and his mercy, and to be a light to this sinful world. How about we pray and then we read this together and start looking at what it is that the Lord has for us. Lord, we thank you for your word. And we ask that as we look at it now, that by your Holy Spirit, you will light the way, that you'll show us what it is that we need to hear, what it is that we need to see. And Lord, we look forward expectantly to what it is that you have in store for us in this passage in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, reading from the New Living Translation, 1 Peter chapter 2, and sometimes I get excited and I call it 2 Peter chapter 2 because I see the 2 and I think 2 Peter, but it's not. It's 1 Peter 2. Verses 4 to 12, and it says this, come to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by the people, but he is precious to God who chose him. And now God is building you as living stones into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are God's holy priests who offer the spiritual sacrifices that please him because of Jesus Christ. As the scriptures express it, I am placing a stone in Jerusalem, a choice cornerstone, and anyone who believes in him will never be disappointed. Yes, he is very precious to you who believe. But for those who reject him, the stone that was rejected by the builders has now become the cornerstone. And the scriptures also say, he is the stone that makes people stumble, the rock that will make them fall. They stumble because they do not listen to God's word or obey it. And so they meet the fate that has been planned for them. But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are a kingdom of priests, God's holy nation,
his very own possession. This is so you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, now you are the people of God. Once you received none of God's mercy, now you have received his mercy. Dear brothers and sisters, you are foreigners and aliens here, so I warn you to keep away from evil desires because they fight against your very souls. Be careful how you live among your unbelieving neighbors. Even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will believe and give honor to God when he comes to judge the world. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. How good are those verses? And I hope that they're already a challenge to you. So what are we invited to? Well, obviously, being invited to something requires a response, an RSVP, as we like to call it. And we will look at this in the second part of this message. But what I would like to start with, though, is to look at what we are invited to be and to narrow down into this privilege we have been offered rather than the more prevalent posture of the duty or obligation that is often seen in those who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ. So I want to look at the privilege that we have to be something rather than the obligation of having to do as those that claim to be followers of Jesus Christ. Do you get what I'm saying? I'm sure you know some people who would live their Christian life as a celebration, who serve out of utter joy and desire, who see it as a privilege to love others, to care for others, to put others first. But similarly, I'm sure you are also aware of those who live out their faith because they feel they have to, that they will be doing the wrong thing if they act or behave in a certain way that may be considered unacceptable. One serves and lives out of privilege. I think you know which one is, the first one, of course, or out of complete gratitude because what they have received through faith in Jesus Christ. And the other responds or reacts out of obligation or guilt, and often that's false guilt, because I don't know whether you remember this, and I've taught some of you this before, but false guilt is something that just condemns you. True guilt leads you to the cross to repent, and so it's really important that we determine when false guilt is at play. But are you getting what I'm saying here? As we look at this life that Peter calls us to live as righteous, holy, obedient disciples of Jesus Christ, my heart is that we each will grasp the privilege, the opportunity, the privilege we have to serve God and his kingdom and not feel manipulated or guilted in to what we are to be. Now, right, the invitations Peter gives us here are, firstly, as I said before, number one, we are invited to come to Christ. What does this mean? What do you think? What does this mean? If you're with us in person, we'd be looking at this and we'd be getting some feedback. But what is the first statement that we use within Shepherd's Heart? It's simple faith. You are invited to simply trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord. The invitation Peter uses here, I love the simplicity of this. Come to Christ. It's uncomplicated. It's a step of simple faith. Let's get rid of the baggage, people. Let's stop overcomplicating what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ, because the first step is obediently and simply coming to Christ, admitting our need of him, and believing in him as our Lord and as our Savior. As we come to Christ, as we believe that he is the Son of God who lived a perfect life and died for us as the perfect holy sacrifice that we considered in chapter 1, we enter a place of privilege. And we'll be looking at this in coming weeks. But we become part of the family of God. We're sons and daughters of the Lord God Almighty. And Jesus is our brother. We become citizens of a new spiritual kingdom, but this is not to be a doer, to work ourselves to the bone, because Jesus calls us to rest. Listen to what Matthew 11, verses 28 and 29 says. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Now combine this with John 6:35, where Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. Well, come to Jesus Christ, as Peter says. And this, it means all of this and much more. Because if I was to ask you what you understood Matthew 11 means by what Jesus said about his yoke, what would your response be? So let's dig a little bit deeper into what this says. You know, when I was growing up, we often received the teaching that this yoke was about the wooden beam that joined two oxen together and attached them to the load that they were pulling. The thought was that Jesus is going to fit us with the yoke that did not hurt us, that fitted perfectly, and that he would teach us how to carry the load or pull the burden we each are to bear. Well, it was reasonable, and it seemed fairly plausible that this was what it meant. Well, it may be a part of it, because Jesus won't give us more than what we can carry. But it's not what Jesus was really saying here. Let's read that verse again that it says here. It says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Now, in the context of Jesus' teaching, he is referring here to the teaching adopted by followers of a rabbi at the time. He was saying that in contrast to the complex teaching of the Old Testament law and all the extra rules added to it by the Jewish priests and Levites, his teaching, his yoke, as it was called, the thing that his followers were to carry, fits us, and the burden of the actions that we are to take is light. Because Jesus is saying, as a result, those that were looking to follow him, that he wasn't going to burden them with onerous obligation, but he was going to give them rest and peace. Remember what I said earlier about one of our defining statements as a church? It's simple faith. Let's not complicate what we believe, like what happened with the Levites and the Pharisees as they loaded up God's plan for his people with so much extra baggage. I don't think that we can really grasp the enormity of this without understanding the Levitical responsibilities that the Jews lived under. But I can really say that I'm thankful that I don't live under that. Thinking more deeply again, Jesus takes us from the burden of sin and guilt, shame and the shame and death that it brings. And coming to Christ, it means that all of this is ours to be released from. We're released from sin and shame, and we're released from that burden of guilt. And he not only relieves us from the load of sin, but he carries our cares, as 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7 says, and he strengthens us, as Isaiah 41, verse 10 says, and he delivers us, as Psalm 34, verse 17 says, and he is always right beside us, ready to help, as we read in Isaiah 41. So as we come to Jesus, as we come to Christ, we will never hunger or thirst spiritually again. He is our eternal provision. I hope that makes a lot of sense about coming to Christ. Maybe that is all we need for today. It is so powerful, and it is, and so much can be added to this thought. But, you know, let's keep going, looking at these other invitations, seeing that one was so good. Secondly, we are invited to come to Christ, and as verse 5 says, to become part of a spiritual temple as living stones. Now, it's one thing to be called a stone. It's another thing, I guess, to be called a living stone. And some people have that as a last name, so maybe they've got a head start. But we are invited to be part of a temple that is anchored on the living cornerstone that is Jesus Christ. Now, 1 Corinthians 3 gives us further insight into the construction company that God oversees. I love that thought that God has his own construction company. It's one that the angels, I'm sure, delight in. But the one point I want to connect into is the focus on Jesus Christ. Now, we've already said where Peter said, come to Christ. Well, let's keep developing that a little bit more. In 1 Corinthians 3, Jesus is referred to as the foundation, and Peter here refers to Jesus as the cornerstone. Now, both refer to the anchoring or reference point that Jesus is for us to be built on and connected to without Without taking this further, I think you get the point. Peter's analogy here is that as we come to Christ, we are made spiritually alive, and God then builds us into his spiritual temple, the place that declares who he is to the world, all founded on Jesus Christ. How unreal and awesome is that? How can we not be blown away by the power of the fact that we are connected to Jesus Christ as our foundation and our cornerstone? We are invited not just to be stones, but to be living parts of the declaration of God to this world. Now, Peter also makes it clear that some reject Jesus, and in verses 6, 7, and the second part is verse 7 and also verse 8, there are those that stumble over who Jesus is. They cannot accept who he is, but as verse 8 says, those who reject this invitation to come to Christ to be built into his temple, those who stumble, who won't listen to God's word, who are disobedient, will receive the fate that is planned for them. Now, don't be mistaken here. A rejection of Christ, a rejection of what Peter said at the start of our reading, a rejection to come to Christ means eternal death, eternal separation from God, rejection from being a part of God's living temple, all of the opposites of what we have already looked at today. And as Beth said the other Sunday, if we are born once, we die twice. If we are born twice, we only die once. What is your choice? Now, number three, we're invited to be God's holy priests, and I love this. Does that interest you at all? Not only are we a part of this living spiritual temple that Peter describes, tied closely to Jesus Christ for our direction and reference in a crazy world, we also have the privilege to serve in this temple. We get the opportunity to offer spiritual sacrifices that please him. And what do you think this could mean? Have a think about that for a minute. In the Old Testament, God sovereignly chose the priests he wanted to serve him. He chose Aaron and his family in Exodus 28. He chose his disciples in John 15 and 16 in the New Testament and said, "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit." When we accept the invitation to come to Christ, we become a part of this chosen royal priesthood. We are cleansed by the blood of Christ. We are clothed in righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And we can read about these in 1 Corinthians 1 and Philippians 3. And so if you want to get back to those later, just jot those two things down, 1 Corinthians 1 and Philippians 3. And we are anointed for service. We are declared and pointed out and prepared for service. And this is where I want to land this point. We are chosen to serve. We are cleaned and cleansed to serve. We are prepared to serve. We are equipped to serve. Our challenge is, are we willing to be obedient and offer our sacrifice of service as we each are equipped to do? Not out of grudging obligation, as we looked at the start of this, but out of grateful and willing hearts. And we'll look at this a little bit further on when we look in the later parts of chapter 2 about submission. Now, number four, the next part of this invitation, we're invited into God's family to be a part of his chosen people. But the verse starts with a but. As those who have chosen Christ, we are not like those who reject him. We are not like those who reject him. As a result of choosing Christ, we become a part of his chosen people, his children, because it says here, what am I thinking about? As the scriptures express it, I'm placing a stone in Jerusalem, a chosen cornerstone. Yes, he is very precious to you who believe, in verse 7. And it says this in verse 9, but you are not like that, for you are a chosen people, You are a kingdom of priests, God's holy nation, his very own possession. We are part of his family, his chosen possession. And as those who have chosen Christ, we are not like those who reject him. And as a result of choosing Christ, we become a part of his chosen people, his chosen and wonderful and special people. Do you recall the second statement about who we are as Shepherd's Heart? Simple faith, says there next to me on the screen, being family. As those who choose to come to Christ, to be in Christ, we are actively choosing to become a part of God's family. We are brothers and sisters with God as our Heavenly Father. And more than this, Peter says that we are a kingdom of priests serving together in God's very own possession. How could this be? Only because we have come to Christ, as we looked at in the first invitation. The division of the old nature is to be gone, is to be dead, is to be finished. And we are to live in the power of John 13, 34 and 35, as you know, two of my favourite verses, walking out Matthew 18 in this light. Family is messy at times, but it is good. Blood is thicker than water, and we are children of God, bought with a price much higher than silver or gold. We are bought with Jesus' blood. We are bought with Jesus' blood, his life given for us. Finally, the fifth part of this invitation. But why does it matter if we are a family, and why is it important to live in a way that overcomes trouble and difficulties in the right way? Why? Because we are invited to witness to those that are around us. The final point for today is that we are invited to be witnesses. We're not forced to be witnesses, we're invited. We have the privilege to be witnesses. The second part of verse 9 says that this is so you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. And it goes on to say in verse 10, once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you received none of God's mercy, now you have received his mercy. See, as followers of Christ, we live as his people and we live in his mercy. Dear brothers and sisters, verse 11 says, you are foreigners and aliens here, so I warn you to keep away from evil desires because they fight against your very souls. Be careful how you live among your unbelieving neighbors because they are watching you, he's saying. Even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior. They will believe and give honor to God when he comes to judge the world. So we are invited as priests in God's kingdom, as his possessions, to do what? And here's a few things that we are invited to do. In the third part of verse 9, it says, we are invited to show others the goodness of God. In the first part of verse 10, it says, we are invited to be the people of God, rather than not belonging anywhere. In the second part of verse 10, it says, we are invited to live as recipients of God's mercy among the world, showing them kindness and mercy. In verse 12, we are invited to influence the world towards belief and to bring honor and glory to God in the judgment that is to come. What an opportunity. What a responsibility. What a future. To bring this invitation to a conclusion, these 5 points that we've been looking at, I want to draw your attention to some of the underlying challenges and contrasts that become and are a part that are woven into these verses. The invitation to come to Christ is followed by the contrast between those that accept the invitation and those that don't. Where do you sit? Acceptance leads to God working in us, resurrecting our dead spirits, using us to form his spiritual temple and serving him as royal priests. God becomes precious to us who accept Jesus Christ, and we live differently as the people of God, having received his mercy. We no longer live for this world, but are strangers in it. We are called to live and serve in ways that reflect our inheritance and the changed people, the living stones and royal priests we have been transformed into. But rejection of this invitation to love, to come to Christ goes downhill very fast. It's a slippery slope. Think of the opposite positions to each of the elements that we just listed. Instead of Jesus being a foundation and something we use to set our direction from, he becomes a stumbling block. He gets in the way. If we reject Jesus, there is no place for us in the kingdom. We cannot be connected to the cornerstone of the eternal spiritual kingdom that is to come. We will not be living stones that are of use to God. And as verse 8 clearly states, those who reject Jesus Christ will meet the fate that was planned for them, eternal exclusion and separation from God. As Philippians 4 verse 3, Luke 10 verse 20 and Hebrews 12, 22 to 23 teach us, when we believe in Jesus Christ and repent of our sins and are forgiven by God, our names are written in the book of life. In Revelation 20, we read that this book is open during the final judgment. And if our names are not recorded there, we will be thrown into the lake of fire. This is the fate that is planned for those who reject the invitation to come to Christ. Even more so, those who reject Christ, who are disobedient, will remain in darkness, as we read in the second part of verse 9. They will not be a part of God's people in verse 10 and will not experience God's mercy in eternity. And he will accuse those who do not accept the invitation of doing things wrong. We will stand before God, and the accusations of what we've done in life will be ours to bear. So the challenge is, have you accepted the invitation to come to Christ? Is there a part of your life in which you still need to accept Christ and see the transforming power of the Holy Spirit bring dead parts of your spirit to life? If you have accepted Christ and have become a part of God's spiritual temple, are you serving as the holy priest that you have been invited and been given the privilege to become? What are your offerings of service? Do you respond as a priest of the Most High God? Hebrews teaches us more about this too, if you would like to learn some more. And by all means, read Hebrews. But as we pray now, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you? How is your heart responding to the invitation to come to Christ? Are you ready to say yes to Jesus for the first time or the next time in your life? Lord, thank you for this challenge that begins with an invitation to come to you. Lord, we ask that as we consider the invitations that we have looked at today to be living stones, to be holy priests, to be servants in your kingdom, that we would really know what it is that you are inviting us to, and that we would open our arms and open our hearts to accept the invitation willingly, longingly, with a desire to pursue and to follow and to serve. Lord, for everyone listening today, can you please challenge our hearts with what it means to come to Christ? Lord, if there is a part of our life that is out of step with you, Lord, may we surrender that and come to Christ in that part of our life today. Holy Spirit, be at work convicting and changing and chasing and pursuing and putting a finger on what it is that we need today. Lord, I thank you for the promise of your word. I thank you that your promises are true. And Lord, you make it really clear in Scripture that anyone who comes to you, you won't cast them out. Anyone that repents and asks for forgiveness, that your arms are open wide waiting to receive them. And Lord, we thank you that your kingdom has so much room and capacity that anyone who is willing to repent has a room there, has place there. And Lord, we thank you for your all-encompassing love that was shown to us in Jesus Christ. Be with us as we consider and think about these things this week. And Lord, again, we thank you for what it is that you've been sharing out of your word to us in Peter. And we look forward to what it is ahead. And we bless you and say thank you, Lord. Amen. If you'd like to talk about any of this at any time, by all means, reach out to us and we'll try to make an appointment to either talk to you on the phone or see you in person if you're in our region. And we really thank you for being a part of our service today and being here with us. And, you know, how hard it is to to focus on the simplicity of faith, of being a family of faith together and following Jesus' command to make disciples. And that's why we do this. This is why we teach this. This is why we go to the effort of putting this together with some help from A2A. And we really hope that you have been blessed and challenged by what it is that you've heard today. May the Lord bless you abundantly in Jesus' name.